Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our scripture reading for today comes from the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it is written about in the prophecy, Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild berry and wild honey. He announced, One who is stronger than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the straps on his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open, and the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on him. And there was a voice from the heaven, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Creator God, you who moved your hands over the waters of the deep to create the earth, you who provided water from a rock when we were in the wilderness, and then led us through the parted waters of the Jordan River to the Promised Land, you who blessed the water at Jesus' baptism and blessed the waters of our baptisms, make your claim on us again today so that we can hear your declaration that, like Jesus, we are your beloved, and in us you are well pleased. Amen. You are enough. You are a beloved child of God, and you are enough. You can never hear those words enough, and even when you do hear them, you sometimes have trouble believing them. Yet, you need to hear words like this often. To be truly and deeply loved is probably the most profound experience you long for, whether you realize it or not. Knowing you are valued and cherished, it can free you to pursue a purposeful life that involves loving others with that same love that you have received. You know the power of you when it's used positively. You know how good it feels. How it feels like you're the only person in the world. Like someone is paying attention to you. Like someone means it and means what they say. And when you hear you from God, wow, that's powerful. You are enough. You are a beloved child of God. And you are enough. So I take a little informal poll, and you can just put in the chat if you want, or just raise your hands in your home. How many of you have made a New Year's resolution? How many have broken it already on this, the seventh day of the new year? And how many of you spent some time reflecting on this past year and set some goals for the year ahead? You know, the beginning of the new year is a time when you often reevaluate your life and you ask questions about who you are and where you're going in life and what your priorities are going to be. So this winter, between now and the start of Lent in mid-February, I'm inviting you to go on a deep journey into the question, who are you? It's my hope that during this time you'll discover how completely the answer to this question is linked to the question whose we are. Imagine what amazing things could happen if you lived into your best, most passionate, loving self. What transformations will happen if you embrace your full self? On this first Sunday after Epiphany, we find ourselves at the edge of the Jordan River with Jesus and his cousin John. While this part is not mentioned in Mark's gospel, other versions of this story have Jesus wanting to be baptized, but John is reluctant to baptize the Messiah. John says, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" But Jesus insists and receives John's baptism of repentance and experiences a moment of divine revelation as he comes up out of the water. One of the definitions of Epiphany is to show up. So during this liturgical season between Christmas and Lent, we are invited to leave miraculous births and angel choirs behind to seek love and majesty and the power of God as God shows up in seemingly mundane things. Rivers, voices, doves, clouds, holy hands covering ours, lowering us into the waters of repentance and new life. In the gospel stories we read during this season, God parts the curtain for brief, shimmering moments, allowing us to look beneath and beyond the ordinary surfaces of our lives and catch glimpses of the extraordinary, which is perhaps another way of describing the sacrament of baptism, one of the thin places where the extraordinary of God's grace blesses the ordinary water we stand in. And in the baptism story from Mark, we are reminded that like Jesus, God blesses us with a promise of a name and an identity that matters. Beloved. Interestingly enough, there has been some debate about the significance of this passage and all the other baptism stories ever since they were included in the New Testament. Some feel that because Jesus was sinless, he didn't need to be baptized, as they understand baptism as primarily as the washing away of original sin. Others are troubled by Jesus' submitting to John to be baptized. Seems that that's what John had a problem with too, questioning Jesus' actions. Yet, even with these questions and objections, I think that this story is both important and timely because it helps us reclaim baptism as this dynamic, present tense activity rather than being seen as this quaint ritual or ceremony. Yes, baptism washes away sin, but more than that, baptism promises ongoing forgiveness and a relationship with God. I think that this is important and central to our understanding of what baptism means, because it is out of this relationship that God promises something more in baptism. In baptism, you are given a name, Beloved. And with that name, you are given an identity, child of God, one to whom God is unfailingly committed. This is God's promise of new life every time you remember who you are and whose you are. I think that it perhaps has never been more important than now to remember our name and our identity in God. We're at a time and a place where so many would like to identify and define us by many names, right? Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, American, foreigner, gay, straight, rich, poor, black, white. The list goes on and on and on. And additionally, we're also increasingly named and defined by the products we use or stores which we shop at. Nike, Apple, BMW, Stanley. And these are just not company names, but lend a particular sense of self. And increasingly, the brand labels on our shirts, our shoes, our cars, our water bottles, our computers, they convey a great deal of our identity. There was this one article on branding that I saw that puts it this way. For people who aren't deeply religious, visible markers of commercial brands are a form of self-expression and a token of self-worth, just like symbolic expressions of one's faith. Friends, this is why I think it is so important for you to remember that your primary identity is. It's as a child of God. And that in baptism, God gives you a name to carry with you always. Beloved. It's not that these other names and other identities are worthless. Some may be quite important to you. Instead, is that while all these other names and affiliations and identifications may describe you, they don't define you. You are enough. You are a beloved child of God, and you are enough. When they say you are alone, the waters of baptism say, I am with you. When they say you are too broken, damaged goods, too wounded, not enough, these waters, they say, you are enough, beloved. Enough. You are enough. When they say you're too ugly, too weird, too fat, too thin, too different, these waters say, you are a beautiful child of God. Beautiful. When they say you are too addicted, you're a stranger, a criminal, an alien, you're too far gone, these waters say, welcome home, neighbor. Welcome home. When they say fear, these waters say trust. Baptism is an act of God, and there is nothing you can do to remove the identity that God gives you. Your relationship with God is the one relationship in your life that you can't screw up because you didn't establish it. You can neglect this relationship, you can deny it, run away from it, ignore it, but you cannot destroy it. Because God loves you too deeply and too completely to let you go. No matter what you do, you're still a child of God, loved by God. You are enough. You are a beloved child of God. And you are enough. This is what I believe. Baptism announces God's inclusion of us into God's family. We are saying yes to this amazing gift. And we need to remind ourselves over and over and over again of this gift. The church reformer suggested that every time we wash with water, it's an opportunity to remember our baptism and promise and the promises that God makes to us in it. They insisted that baptism, while only conducted once, was never intended to be a once and done event, rather something we remember and we renew daily. So whenever you take a shower or a bath remember your baptism. When you wash your hands, remember your baptism. Get in the habit of saying something like, I am enough. I am God's beloved child. I'm called to make a difference in this world. As we begin this new year, it's hard to avoid all the messages telling us otherwise. But this is God's promise to us. You are enough. You are a beloved child of God, and you are enough. No matter what your inner monologue says, you are enough. You are a beloved child of God. No matter what the kids at school say, you are a beloved child of God. No matter what the doubters and the haters say, you are a beloved child of God. No matter what, you are a beloved child of God.